What's up, guys? Welcome to Value Town, episode 34, I believe. I'm your host, Champman V, and I'm joined today by Trump Reels and our new DreamHack champion, RDU. How's everybody doing today?
Very good.
Not doing too bad.
Right, all right. Yeah. You guys recovered from DreamHack yet?
Kind of.
Mostly. Yesterday I was pretty whacked out, but I think I'm getting back to normal now.
Ah, good stuff.
It's been pretty hard not traveling.
You lucky fool. Nice, nice. Well, guys, what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the new Nox cards, and Nax cards. And we're going to talk about the Priest card, too, since we didn't have the show last week. So we'll talk about the Priest and the Hunter that was announced today. We'll also be talking about DreamHack just in general, just everybody's feelings on the tournament, and maybe have RDU just talk a little bit about just the whole drama at the end of it. And then we'll go into the Freeze Mage. We'll have RDU walk us through the Freeze Mage, as well as Reels, too. Reels is, I'm sure, familiar with the Freeze Mage also. And, really talk about what the key cards are, what the key plays are, and things like that. Because in the Freeze Mage, every little play early on actually leads to whether you win a turn early or not. It's kind of cool that way. Then we'll do some Q&A with you guys. No Reddit thread this week, guys. So we're going to be taking questions from the chat. I'm crazy, I know, but we're going to try it. And if it doesn't work, then we might have to do sub-only type of questions. But if you guys are good, we'll continue to do it. Okay, guys, let's talk about the Priest card. Actually, that was announced last week. So we'll go. Let me go over to it real quick. Okay, so Dark Cultist. Give a friendly minion plus 3 health on the death rattle. What do you guys think about this? Trump, I'll start off with you.
I think it's got the potential to be a main... Oh, sorry, that card. Okay, yeah. Priest.
Not the Hunter, the Priest one.
I was preparing for Hunter. This card is absolutely amazing. A 3-mana, 3/4 is just good by itself. The fact that it has Death Rattle, a nice bonus, is even better. Whether or not you can get the bonus is actually a little bit questionable. But, 3-mana, 3/4, right? I'm really happy that the Priest got hooked up with such a good card.
Rest of you guys, just jump on in whenever, and don't have to wait for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a good card. It's 3/4, 3/4. It passes the vanilla test with flying colors. It might even be perhaps the first 3/4 for 3. So it's a resilient minion with, still a lot of power. It's either a good card or a great card, depending on whether or not you get good use out of the Death Rattle. Even if it gets silenced, you're not sad. Mm-hmm. And even if you literally don't have anything else to get from the Death Rattle, it's still good. So the only thing that makes it not that amazing is the fact that 3-mana is something where Priest already has some reasonably good options. Mm-hmm. Their biggest hole still is at 2-mana. They have no turn 2. Priest doesn't have a turn 2, and this doesn't solve that. But if and when they do have a better turn 2, then cards like this will become even better.
Yeah, agreed. I think turn 2 or even turn 5, because a lot of the classes, including Priest, don't have great turn 5s either, outside of like Azure Drake. So turn 2, I think everybody was hoping for, didn't quite get it here. Raddy, what do you think of this card?
I think this card has the potential to be very good. You can compare it to Unbound Elemental, and it has better base stats. But Unbound scales better with the use of spells. I think this card can be very good if you are playing Arena, and can also be used in some combos for Constructed. I see that card being played like twice instead of Harvest Golem in Constructed Priest decks.
Okay. You guys see that? I don't see Harvest Golem.
Let's just say it straight up. You're going to see 2 of this card in every single Priest deck.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Even in like a Maz's Priest, he already has Injured Blademaster, Earthen Ring Farseer to combo with the Akanai. And that's already 4 right there. Are you gonna see this one too, Trump?
Probably replace the Earthen with it. You might even be able to replace this Injured Blademaster Circle combo and be less reliant on the combo of the circles.
Circles are leaving the deck though. If you want to, you can think of the circle as being enabled by either of those two, and you're removing one of the enablers if you take out injured Blade Master, one of the big plays that Priest needs in order to do something that's better than what other classes are doing. So I'm not sure if injured Blade Master is going anywhere, because Circle's definitely not leaving. But you don't need Earthen Ring Farseer, so Dark Cultist is just a really, really powerful drop that you can play.
I think that's a lot better on turn three. I think Circle can leave. I think you could have like a second Priest deck. Like right now, the only one is the one with the circles and the stuff, because there's not too much to work with. But given this card and some other next cards, I think it's possible that there's like another Priest deck without the circle.
Well, it's also possible that Priest decks honestly might fall off even more come Nax if mid-range decks that rely on Egg become a real thing. Because if your best way to win with Priest is things like Akanai Circle right now, or Holy Novaing your opponent's board or whatever, those all run afoul of Nerubian Egg. And turn, you know, you play your removal spell and your opponent still gets a 4/4 with no damage on it. That's not exciting.
It's that magic 4 damage kryptonite for Priest too, that death rattle. So that's a good point, actually. I think we'll have to see how it plays out. Let's move on to the new Hunter card. Exciting that it's like every Thursday they announce a new card, so it's like really, really perfect timing for the Valley Town. All right, Web Spinner. It's a 1-mana card, and the death rattle is draw a random beast card. So not a random beast card from your deck, guys. A random beast card, period. So we'll go backwards. Roddy, what do you think of this?
I think this card is a better version of Loot Hoarder or Novice Engineer, like Trump said before the show. It's decent, I think. If it can get other beasts than itself, that would make it a little bit better. I see this played in Arena a lot, again, like most of the next cards. But it also has constructed potential, because you don't have to run beasts to be able to get beasts, so that's also good. I don't know. We should see more play of it, and then we can decide if it's good or not.
Reels?
In a beast synergy focused deck, I could see it being okay, maybe, if you want to think of it as like a one mana Loot Hoarder, sort of. Something that could have some kind of impact on the board, or force your opponent to use 2 mana to soak their hero power into it, or something like that, and then you still get a card. So tempo-wise, it could be okay. You can think of it that way. But there are 25, and if it can get itself, right now, 26 beasts that it's capable of getting, and you might just end up basically paying like 2 mana to play Angry Chicken twice, because you'll play it, and then you'll actually get Angry Chicken, and then play an Angry Chicken. There's a lot of not good beast options to get, and there are some really great ones too. But, you know, you can get Timberwolf, you can get Tundra Rhino, you can get Starving Buzzard, you can get King Crush, you can get Savannah Hymen, and I imagine it's going to be an equal chance for all of these. Maybe you'll get an Iron Beak Owl, and you really needed a Silence. Maybe you'll get a Captain's Parrot, and you won't have any Pirates in your deck. You know, Silverback Patriarch hitting the play on the constructed tables. Courtesy of this new Hunter card, that could be a real thing that we'll end up seeing if people start trying it.
That was the motivation behind it, Reels, is to get silver. Yeah.
What if your opponent's playing Murlocs and you get a Hungry Crab?
That'd be sweet.
Trump. Get that Hungry Crab.
All right, what do you think of it, Trump?
I feel like it's a 100% include in any Beast Synergy decks, and I think that this might just... I see you shaking your head, but it's such a better Loot Hoarder. It's like, if Loot Hoarder won 1 mana, it would be super OP, and I understand, like, sometimes you get your Angry Chicken, but a lot of the times you get something good, and, you know, if you're running a Beast Synergy deck, if you get the Angry Chicken, it's not the end of the world either. You put Houndmaster on it, and you live the chicken dream. You get your Enraged 3-health chicken, and life is good.
I don't think it's very good.
I think it's awesome in a Beast Synergy deck. Might see some movement towards that. Even just standalone, it could be all right. I will say, for those who are just seeing this image as is, I believe that it's not formatted very well, the text, and I feel like it could change. Ben Brode did confirm on his Twitter that it is get a copy of any Beast card, even the ones that you don't own, from your deck. So it does, and I feel like that needs to be clarified in some way.
Yeah, so it adds a card to your deck, which we don't have that many.
It just adds it directly to your hand, like Ysera.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it's an additional, it's plus 30, though. Should be different. It's 30 plus.
If it went from your deck, I think it would be a lot better. To say that it's a one-mana Loot Hoarder is a way to sort of understand the card, but it's also not really true, because Loot Hoarder, when you're playing Constructed, you're playing the best 30 cards that you think you can. And when you play Loot Hoarder, you're trying to draw into among those best remaining 28 cards that you have, or not in your hand, in your deck. As where this is going to get a lot of things that you probably honestly didn't ever want in the
no
first.
No synergy with the rest of your.
Well, you'll have synergy because, like Trump said, if you're playing a beast synergy deck, this at least becomes possible as something that might be good. But it'll never get played in anything else other than a beast synergy deck, because simply getting a random beast just isn't good enough. It's not doing what Loot Hoarder does. Loot Hoarder gets specifically the cards in your deck that are good with your deck. And that's only going to be true in a beast synergy deck, really, just getting a random beast. Unless you get really lucky and, you know, get a Stampeding Kodo or something when your opponent has small stuff.
Let's talk about what the impact will be in Arena, Trump, and, you know, you being our Arena expert.
Okay. In Arena, this is a top pick. Like, Loot Hoarder is a pretty good pick. This card's even better, since in Arena, you are faced with a bunch of average cards, and Web Spinner is going to draw an average card. One mana, 1/1 draw a card is amazing. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It.
All right.
Is it much better than Novice Engineer?
Oh, it's way better. Like, you can play it on turn one, and that's why I think it's good in Constructed also. There's not too many good turn one plays. You play Tracking, you play Flare to Cycle, you play your Web Spinner. And, like, whenever you have one spare mana, you play your Web Spinner. It's good for your later control decks also, or mid-range decks. I think it's got potential. Although I am blinded by any card that says draw a card on it.
Yeah.
It's value, man. The mayor value town, of course, is going to side with value here. But, yeah, really, really excited to see at least some changes, at least to Hunter. So that's going to conclude all the classes for Nax, at least the class-specific new cards.
So what does that mean? Can we start speculating on release then?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the options are either they'll continue releasing maybe a few cards each week, you know, for a few more weeks until they announce all the cards, or they're just saving, you know, the big batch, I guess half of the cards for the big release, which could happen in a week or 2 weeks maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think probably the cards that we know right now, at least from the neutral cards, I'm not sure how they'll do the class cards in terms of how you earn them, but probably the neutral cards, that represents the first wing, the spider wing, or whatever that they said would be the first one up, the free wing. And I think we'll get the other ones revealed either just before or not until the actual next wing is released.
Yeah. So when do you think this free wing is going to come out?
Can we hope that it's next week?
Yeah, well, absolutely, you can hope it's next week. I mean, we're allowed to hope. Yeah. I think there's a chance. I've always thought that it was going to be end of June, and you know, next week would put it in that time frame. Trump, what do you think? You'd be leaning towards that if you're a betting man?
Does anyone know how many cards they said would be in next? I forgot.
I think it's something 30. Like 30.
There should be 30 total, I believe.
30, so we've got 14, 9 class cards and 5 neutrals.
Yeah.
So that's only half the set, kind of spoilered. I don't think it's going to be next week. I vaguely remember something about them aiming for summer, and summer's end is in a month and a half, I believe. So I'm going to bet on roughly a month.
Okay. Raddy, what's your guess?
There was a lot of speculation, I remember, on the internets that said that it would be maybe tomorrow, although
tomorrow?
That's, almost cer- That's almost certainly not going to happen.
Wow.
But the reason why was because all of the class card reveals, it was going to end, the last class reveal was going to be today, obviously. And tomorrow is the anniversary of the release of the original Naxxramas.
Oh, wow.
World of Warcraft. So people speculated that they would try to line it up with the
that would have been
anniversary
cool.
of the original Naxxramas release, and that the schedule for previewing the class cards lined up with that, and that it made sense.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That
timing.
Would have been really cool, yeah. Although sitting where we're at right now, I sincerely doubt they're going to.
No, I doubt it too. I think I would have heard something about it tomorrow. If they were going to do it tomorrow, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, we're speaking about Blizzard, so it would probably take more than one day, like from now. I think like 2 weeks or something like that.
You
maybe
never know.
If we are lucky.
The Hearthstone team surprises us. You know, the Hearthstone team just kind of, hey guys, Hearthstone is launched all of a sudden. It's like, wow, all right, yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So you never know. You never know with the Hearthstone team. They seem to be a little bit different. Seem operating kind of more as a little startup within Blizzard.
I don't think
all of this talk has just reminded me of something, though. Since it's released in week-long periods, and like Real said, there's going to be a Spider Wing first, this is the card you're going to see in the first week. You're going to see the Web Spinner. You're going to see the Nerubian Egg.
Yep.
You're not going to see certain cards, but you're going to see this one. So yep. Hunters get a slight boost first week of Nax.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I don't know if it's that much of a boost. I think that it will be good in Arena, like you said, though. And I don't know how good it'll be in Constructed, though, yet.
Just want to get a King Crush, since I'll never put it in my actual Hunter deck. If they can make me put one in there, that'd be nice. That'd be pretty cool. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about BlizzCon. So three of us were actually there, but I'm really curious to get Trump's first thoughts, just given that he was at home watching it and what the experience was like. Given that it was on Viagame, there was no chat there.
You said BlizzCon, but I think you meant...
Dream Hack. Not BlizzCon, sorry. Yeah.
DreamHack. Not BlizzCon.
I'm thinking BlizzCon. DreamHack. Sorry, guys. DreamHack. So, Trump, how was it at home? Like, what was the experience like?
Let's see. I thought it got a lot better at the end. On the first day, I was watching, and then there would be all these delays, and... like, one game would finish, then there would be 10 minutes, and then that would turn to 15 minutes, and then 20 minutes. I'm not sure how it looked over from your side, but I know that everyone was getting pretty antsy. On the second day and on the third day, though, they did a really good job of inserting some excellent interviews with Rachel in between games, and there was barely any downtime. So that was really good. The show was good, and... there was some good high-level play, and I thought the casting team was excellent.
What'd you think about the no chat?
Oh, no chat sucked. And because of that, I actually kind of started... I know Raynad's stream had a bit of a chat unofficial following, and then I started to also just get a bit of hype for DreamHack and started my stream just watching it and then allowing the opportunity for people to chat in there.
No, that's really, really awesome. That was still going on even with no chat, because I know that was definitely a challenge. But to your point, like your comments there, yeah, the production team made quite a few edits towards the end of day one, just with the breaks in between, because a lot of people I know were not happy. They were tweeting me a lot actually during all that, and so you know, definitely cut down on those. Right, we had to actually make those interstitials for day two and day three during day one. So that's why we didn't have those going into it. Rachel was like interviewing a lot of people on day one. So I think day two went really smooth. Day three, there were some kind of bumpiness when we went to the Dream Arena, you know, when we switched venues. And Reels, you probably kind of saw a little bit too, because you were casting with us and you probably ran over. Well, actually, no, you were playing in the semifinals. So you had to move over there too, like with everybody. And yeah. We were still at the booth basically casting it from there. So... production team had to kind of relay to each other, so that was a little bit of a bumpiness there. But overall, yeah, I think at least at the event, I felt like it was pretty good. Reels, what do you think of the whole event as a whole? You know, we'll talk about specifics, but just kind of get your general feel for it.
I definitely had a lot of fun while I was there. I think that they could have made space to sort of have on the first day or two. there were a lot of series that were not streamed. And I don't think the event was so large that they needed to not stream them.
Yeah.
I think that there may have been some kind of... I don't remember with any great certainty, but I think I heard some whisper of something that they had some kind of technical issue that kept them from using both stations to stream, and that was their original intention. I don't know if that's true or not. Regardless, the event overall was really, really good. I really enjoyed the casting whenever I wasn't playing, and I was able to watch and, you know, be a spectator.
Oh, you were good too when you were part of it. When you know,
it was fun. You know, there was a couple games that I got to go, mm-hmm. you know, be up there with you guys too, and that was a lot of fun hanging out with you guys up there for that. And I thought a lot of the games were really good. I thought it was interesting seeing people would bring in terms of decks that they thought would be good for that tournament's metagame.
Yeah.
The tournament scene and the tournament metagame and any given tournament is going to be different from another and very much unlike the latter, which is something I actually think is really cool because you get to see constructed that is, you know, still influenced by what the most popular things are out there, but isn't necessarily dominated by them. And you see people finding interesting solutions to, you know, to the metagame and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed hanging out with the other players. There were obviously, you know, a couple notable hiccups here and there, but nothing that ruined it for me and hopefully didn't ruin it for anyone who was watching it at home. And by and large, I thought it was a really cool event the way they did it, and mm-hmm. it was definitely a fun one to be a part of.
Radu, what did you think of it? I mean, you're our champion, so kind of want to get your thoughts on just generally the whole thing.
Yeah, excepting the final controversy, I think the DreamHack was very good, but we will get a touch on that later. So, mm-hmm. yeah, as we all said, they didn't stream all the games.
Yeah.
My game versus Reels, I think it was one of the most epic games at DreamHack, where we literally played until we both deck out, or at least me, I can remember well. And Reels ended up winning the handlock versus mage game,
where I
remained like two or three turns at one HP. Then I Alistrazed myself, and yeah, it was the best game.
That sounds exciting, man.
Yeah,
it's good stuff. Yeah, just to clarify for folks, Reels, I think both of his games weren't shown, or his series weren't shown on the first day. So that was a real bummer, and I think that's why we made the adjustment the second day to show all the matches, which kind of bit us in the ass too, because we were exhausted by the end of the day because we cast so many games on the second day. But we should, I think, in the future cast all the group games, just in future tournaments and stuff. I think that's smart. So hopefully we won't be able to miss some of those games, in future tournaments. Overall, for me, yeah, same thing. I thought the panel was a really good idea. I think Artosis and Admirable just killed it. I think it's probably the best casting we've seen to date. Just in Hearthstone period, and really shows what casting can be like for Hearthstone and should be like for Hearthstone. So they killed it. They did an awesome job. So I think overall the production was quite good. Little hiccups again, like you said, some camera issues and stuff in the beginning, but that's just how it is. I think there's a saying in DreamHack that the first day of DreamHack sometimes is like rehearsal to some degree. but fixed those things day two and day three, and it went pretty well. Let's talk about the deck. Let's talk about a little bit of the metagame first. Druids seem to be the class of the event. I think 10 players played Druid, at least in the group stages. And then I think a lot of expectation was Miracle, but I think only 8 people played Miracle or 7 people played Miracle. So Druids, different types of Druids seem to dominate. Would you guys say the same thing?
Yes.
Radu, why don't you start off?
Yes, I think I'm the only player that didn't play Druid in the top 8 mm-hmm. because I really don't like the class, because you can draw like Wild Growth on turn 5 or 6 and it will be a dead card in your hand, but also you can just get a combo at the right time and win against anything. So it's a situational class in my opinion, but it's very good. But I prefer playing Shaman Freeze Mage instead of Druid, and obviously Miracle.
Okay.
Shaman is sort of the other safe deck, but it's really sort of secondary to Druid because you don't have access to healing and your burst potential is a little less consistent. Right. So that's really why I think everyone going into the event knew that almost everyone would have a Druid deck as one of their decks. I think that was the safe. It was the safe thing to do because the format was best of three, mm-hmm. and different people had different strategies. But no matter what, if you lose game one, you have to take into consideration the fact that you're going to have to win two games in a row.
Right.
And Druid isn't something that gets easily countered. It doesn't get directly countered by almost anything. Its worst matchup is 40%. And so if you ever lose game one, or if you're trying to just win two games, if you want to just be safe and try to win two games in a row starting from game one, Druid is a reasonable choice. It could happen. It could work. And a lot of people went into the tournament with that mentality and that sort of that approach.
Well, I mean, there are different types of Druids. So, you know, having to just, I guess, bucket all Druids, I think, is not quite right. Because we saw some token Druids, you know, like Ekop and I think Nymphs were playing token Druids. We saw some Ram Druids with Gaara. And then we saw some more mid-range units, Druids, which yeah. I think, you know, you were running, right? So were there, I mean, were those percentages the same for all those? Or, I mean, is it, which ones are you talking about?
I think it's a little different when you're talking about the Ramp Druid deck. I think that is a little bit different. And to be quite honest, I also think overall it's quite a bit worse, although it is better in the mirror, the quote-unquote mirror, the Druid mirror, mm-hmm. against the more standard Druid decks. But Token Druid and the other standard Druid decks, I would clump them all into the same sort of category. You know, the ones that are looking to Force of Nature Savage Roar, and that's their game plan. The Ramp deck doesn't even play it. It's a little bit different. It has some matchups that are better and some that are worse. But the true middle-of-the-road decks are those more standard ones and the token ones and stuff like that.
Right. What are your all's thoughts on the double Savage Roar versus just one? Because we saw Ekop actually finish twice. I think we saw maybe one or two other ones where the double Force of Nature Savage Roar were actually possible versus just the single Force of Nature with a double Savage Roar with the Innervate. What are your thoughts on having two? I'll ask Radu first.
Well, I saw that like from 1 month ago, people preferred playing double the combo because once was not enough and didn't came in the hand in all the games, and people wanted to be sure they will use the combo to end the game. So I think it's really good playing the combo twice. I saw some people just playing like a double Savage Roar and one Force of Nature, or even double Force of Nature and only one Savage Roar, because they can get Savage Roar as a dead draw, and Force of Nature can always be used like to clear the board or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Druid is in a good spot right now, as Riel said.
I don't really like double combo, and this is just a personal preference. I understand why people want to run two, and pretty much everything that Ardew said was, you know, spot on. That's pretty correct, mm-hmm. the reasoning behind it and what you're trying to do with it. I just, every time I play outright double combo, I end up not liking it. I feel like my deck is worse, and maybe I'm wrong and my perception is off, but that's how I feel. So, you know, I understand double force and one roar. I could see myself doing that sometimes, but for the most part, I prefer just playing the single copies of the combo mm-hmm. in for just Druid. Are we going to like talk about other decks that we saw?
We're definitely, but I kind of wanted to get just want to get opinion. Trump, what do you think of that? Because I saw a ton of it. Like, just to be honest, going into the tournament, I saw a ton of double Savage Roar on the ladder. And I thought that was just going to be like commonplace moving forward. But after we saw everybody, what they were running, you know, it was pretty clear that it was kind of half and half. Trump, do you like this double Savage or no?
I kind of take Reels' stance. Savage Roar in itself is a weak card unless you can specifically pair it up with Force of Nature or just having a lot of minions, but that's rare. And Force of Nature, like Reels said, is actually a card which doesn't absolutely suck when individually used. So that's why a 2-Force, 1-Savage might work. Like, it's kind of a fine balance. I myself would probably have run a 0-Force, 0-Savage Druid deck just because it beats out the Druid decks which run Savage and Roar in general.
Okay.
As far as Druid being a popular deck in DreamHack, it is a lot of because it's in the best of three format, and when you lose, you need to bring a deck which, like, if, even if you build bring the counter to the first deck, this the deck that your opponent is going to choose against your deck can't be that good. So, like Real said, I think it's about right that Drew doesn't have a terrible matchup. It also doesn't have a fantastic matchup, though, on the flip side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just the deck that might fit the format because your opponent can choose any deck he wants to play against your deck.
Yeah.
It's a solid deck.
So the next popular deck we saw was a Rogue, and we actually did see a couple, quote-unquote, like, let's just call it backspace Rogues, you know, more aggro Rogues that are actually meant to kill Miracle. But those decks didn't end up working out at all during the tournament. I mean, every time they were in ideal situations, they, like, lost, which was really, really surprising. What did you guys think of just the Rogue play in general in the tournament? Reels, I'll start with you.
I think that in terms of the aggro variant, the, you know, the backspace Rogue, mm-hmm. it actually, I think it kind of skewed our perception against aggro, because I think aggro decks are actually a lot better than the DreamHack tournament would lead people to believe. There wasn't a lot of Hunter aggro. There was like maybe one or two Hunter aggro decks the whole tournament, and one or two midrange or whatever, like what Raynad was playing, and one or two of the Rogue aggro deck. And that was like the only aggro
people Warrior played. That Raynad broke out in the finals or the semifinals too.
That's true.
That crazy one.
That also lost in what?
Yeah, in a
good matchup.
Yeah, optimal scenario too.
So I really think that those decks are actually pretty good, and I think that they're good for ladder. I think that they're good for tournaments in the right circumstance, and I think that some people even made the correct choices and ended up getting punished for it even though they were doing the right thing, which was in a way unfortunate because it skews people's perception of their play or their choices or whatever and makes them think that they made the wrong choice when really they made the right one and it just didn't work out. Maybe we'll see a more control-heavy and, you know, mid-range-heavy metagame as a result. But
yeah.
I think aggro is really good in this game still. And I don't know. Maybe it'll take a while now, though, before people really start picking up back into it.
Did you consider bringing it over the Miracle?
I wouldn't have considered bringing the Rogue aggro deck specifically over Miracle, but I did take some time considering at least Hunter.
Okay.
Because I'm just more familiar with the Miracle deck and the things that I was trying to do with my three decks in the metagame that I thought it would be. Miracle just seemed so much better. Yeah. Miracle's really good against the more controlling decks, and in discounting Handlock, I guess it's still okay against Handlock, but not great.
Okay.
And so I thought that my group especially was what I originally made my decks for, was going to be very control heavy, and that no one was going to be willing to play aggro, and like maybe one person would be willing to play freeze, which ended up being all pretty true. And so I think that overall my strategy was pretty good, at least for what I was going to see in my group. And that metagame was actually almost the same throughout the whole tournament, with almost no one playing aggro at all.
Yeah. Randu, I mean, your Miracle Rogue was one of your anchor decks, I feel like, pulling a lot of series out, even just winning 2-0 in some of them. What'd you think of just the choice between Miracle and maybe an aggro?
Well, I think that a lot of people in this tournament wanted to bring the aggro rogue just to be the Miracle rogue, and they all tried to counter Miracle rogue, but Miracle rogue in its worst matchup can still win, like you saw at DreamHack. I could still win in the worst matchup versus Rush Warrior or versus Aggro Rogue. But with Miracle, you don't know when you're going to win, when you are going to win, because the only game I lost with Miracle was versus Reels is Handlock, which isn't such a bad matchup as the Rush Warrior is. So you just need to play that deck and hope for the Miracle and you can beat anybody. That was the feeling of playing that deck. And I think all the players had to play that deck, but some of them tried to counter, and it didn't work out as they expected.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny about watching a lot of the Miracle games is that I saw more Edwin Van Cleave type of wins, more so than Leroy Shadowstep type of wins. And I guess the question is does it play out more like that? You know, just less of the crazy Leroy combo wins at the highest levels? versus like, you know, what we would see at even lower legends and, you know, in the rank 1 through 5s, where it's just like always the Leroy Shadow Step, you know, kind of finishes.
Yeah, because all the people play around Leroy, mm-hmm. at least the good people calculate the maximum damage they can get every turn. But when they are faced with a big Van Cleef, or at least a 6-6 Van Cleef that they can't remove very easily, they are just in a bad spot. So even if they play around Leroy, if you just play a big Van Cleef or a 6-6, I think 6-6 is the best value because it can't get Big Game Hunter'd.
Right.
And they have no answer. You just win on spot. So you don't need, you don't even need Leroy. And the next turn, you just need, for example, if your opponent is at 20 HP, you need Leroy double Shadow Step and something more. But if you play Van Cleef and he doesn't have an answer, you'll just need one Leroy and one Shadow Step and something more.
So, or you just Cold Blood and just win in a couple turns.
Yeah, I think Van Cleef is kind of overpowered at the moment, little bit.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because for 3 mana, the best play I think of is turn 3, Deadly Poison, coin Van Cleef. It's a 6-6 Van Cleef for literally no waste. You just lose the coin, and you use the Deadly Poison, and can still use the weapon, so
yeah,
I think that plays really good, especially in the mirror match. If your opponent doesn't have sup, you just win on spot.
Real thoughts?
I mean, I think the card alone gives the deck a whole nother dimension, and I think that that's something that's really important for the deck sometimes, and it is interesting that that was the circumstance that was coming up repeatedly, really.
Yeah, we saw it a lot. We saw it a lot.
Where people are, you know, making a middle size Van Cleef, or pretty sometimes even having to kind of go all in and make a big one, and their opponent just not having the right answer. And sometimes you do win games that way. It's a little bit less consistent. You can't rely on it, but the option is there, and that's what matters. It's, you know, gives you a little bit of extra win percentages that you wouldn't have otherwise had. It is definitely a really strong card. It's pretty busted, actually, but it's it has its counters, at least.
It's one thing that you see, like, when you put all the high-level, just top-tier players together, is that instead of just waiting, like you see in a lot of people when they play Miracle, that, you know, not quite at the highest of the levels, you know, you pretty much play what your hand gives you, and a lot of times that your hand gives you a Van Cleef early, and you just go for it, you know, like you actually just go all in some cases really, really early, and and that's really the thing that gives you the best chance to win. So it's kind of cool that you see the top people really taking that dive. Trump, actually, any thoughts on just what you saw with Miracle in the tournament?
I have so much to say.
Okay.
First of all, I think one of the unsung heroes in this tournament was actually Raynad. I thought his deck choices going into the top 8 were really strong. He tried to counter Miracle Rogue, and he played against you, RDU, right?
On the
top 4?
Yeah, Simon. Yeah, Simon.
I thought his deck choices there were quite inspired, and he played two decks which are theoretically good against Miracle Rogue. Would you agree with that, RDU? Warrior?
No.
Hunter?
I don't think the Rogue is good versus the Rush Warrior.
Right, so
no, he played the Rush Warrior against you.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah. He played the two good decks versus my Miracle Rogue, sorry. Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's just an unfortunate outcome from him. I know that you actually had done a lot of preparation going into the tournament, and you've spoken about it on other interviews, and you made like a chart with win percentages against like every single deck, and I really like that type. Do you have a guess on what your worst matchups against Miracle Rogue are, or I guess specifically against Hunter and Aggro Warrior?
So with Miracle Rogue versus Hunter and Aggro Warrior, I think it's like 50-50 with Hunter. So if you know he's playing an Aggro Hunter,
Aggro Hunter or
it
like
Aggro Hunter,
it was like a Sunshine Hunter more.
You can beat the Aggro Hunter quite easily if you just get First Years and the Fan of Knives. But with Rush Warrior, you can't really know because there are tons of ways of building that deck. And it really depends on his hand. If he has a bad hand, and you have a good start with a fast Van Cleef, they usually don't run Execute, so if you just make a big Van Cleef, you win most of the times. And also, you need Farseer for this matchup. I also saw that some players in this tournament didn't play with Farseer, and that was unexpected, because he's really good in the versus the Rush decks.
Yeah, but there weren't a lot of them in the tournament, especially during the group stages and whatnot, there weren't a lot of those aggro or rush decks.
Yeah, there were zero decks.
Unfortunately.
I agree with Trump, at least to a certain extent. Reyna did make it to the top four, the same as I did. And I think that his play was really, really strong almost throughout the whole tournament. I think he had one turn, one time, where he didn't have any good options, and he let the rope burn down, and he didn't get to make the plays that he wanted to make. And that, of course, was a mistake because he didn't get to do the things that he wanted to do. But it still, it was a game that he probably wasn't going to win anyways.
That had something to do with the iPad, too. That was one of the early games.
And everyone had to fight that
true.
Possibility.
True.
But that being said, his play was really, really strong. But on the other side of the coin, I was really kind of unimpressed by whatever preparation or lack of preparation Team Tempo Storm had as a whole, or whatever their read on the metagame was, I felt was maybe wrong. I think that the mid-range Hunter deck was actually something that ended up being pretty good and ended up being okay. But in the group stage, some of the Tempo Storm players, Reynad included, had basically no answer to Miracle Rogue, none, in their whole list of three decks.
And Reynad even said that, too. He said that what he chose for groups was actually not a good decision given what everybody else chose.
So his play was really fantastic, and he made it into the elimination rounds and sort of doubled back and, did a little bit better analysis of what he thought the metagame was actually going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And made much better choices going into the top eight, and didn't, obviously, it's only one game really that it came down to when he played Warrior against Miracle Rogue and technically is a favored matchup and didn't win. Those things happen. Miracle Rogue is still a great deck, even against things that counter it, like Radu said. But I think that, it is... I kind of agree with Trump. I think that he did really well and deserves at least some credit for that. If his team had done better preparation, I think they could have done a lot better. I think they were all playing, like, Ramp Druid against each other or something, and... that was like representative of the total metagame, and
Gaara even added a Emperor's Cobra to it too, which was an interesting addition, which works in a mirror. I mean, I could totally see how it worked in a mirror, but it was definitely an interesting addition for other matches.
Don't think so, because all the people run Argent Commander, and if you just Argent Commander the Cobra, you get a lot of value.
There's a lot of ways that it doesn't work out well.
Even Raph.
There's a lot where it doesn't work out. I'll be honest. I didn't like Ramp Druid in the tournament at all, just because the only thing that it really does super well against is maybe Warrior, which there weren't any, and the pseudo mirror against other druids, which there were a lot of, but that was really the only good matchup, and it's so much worse against other things that it just wasn't worth it. So I think that their read on the metagame going into the group stage was not very good. Reynad squeaked by, which allowed him to make adjustments, which he did end up doing.
We could change decks between rounds, from groups to semis,
going from the group into the top.
Well, the open bracket could change into groups, and then groups could change into the semis and finals.
I wish we couldn't make changes.
Yeah, I think it would have benefited me if people couldn't have made any changes, but at the same time, I understand why they wanted to have that option, because they wanted to make sure that that it was a level playing field.
Yeah, it was fair. It was just the fairest thing to do.
I wanted it to be a playing field skewed in my favor because I prepared beforehand better. But,
that's true.
You can't win them all. So
you were one of the few people that played Handlock. So talk about that decision to play Handlock, why you chose it, and just why we didn't see it as many of it in the tournament.
I going into it, I was worried that some people might pick up on the fact that it was going to be good in that metagame and end up playing it more. And I still chose to play it, even though my best deck against Handlock, if other people were playing it, would have been Handlock.
Right.
So I still decided to play it anyways, because I thought people wouldn't run it, and I ended up being right. I thought a couple more people might end up playing Warrior, but there really weren't very many.
Besides Kit Kats.
But...
I played Warrior in the first day, too.
Oh, okay.
Handlock's not insane against you know, double combo druid and stuff. But it's still favored, and it's favored against warrior, which there were two of in my group. Mm-hmm. I just never got needed to run into them. It does well against miracle. It still beats standard aggro and has a chance against the face aggro, although it's not a good matchup. And I didn't think very many people would play the rogue aggro deck either, which I also didn't want to run into. So
yeah,
basically just there weren't going to be a lot of things that countered it, I didn't think, in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much right. And I think it was a good choice. So
yeah, I think it was a good choice too. You ran into some rough draws at the end.
It's really interesting because in the group stage, I thought not many people would play Freeze Mage. That was the other deck I was considering instead of Handlock.
Mm-hmm.
And like Radu did play it, and
I lost.
And I didn't. I ended up playing the Handlock, and I played him in the group stage, and he won. He won the game one mind game against me. I thought that he would play
Rogue,
Circle, or Warrior, or something like that, based on what the decks that I had. But he made the right choice to lead with Freeze Mage, and I played Handlock, and I ended up winning the unfavorable matchup. It was an interesting game. He didn't have draw cards early, and so I was able to force him to use burn spells as removal.
Yeah.
And I ended up fatiguing him out with Handlock against Freeze Mage.
That's crazy.
It was a really, really interesting game. And if his draw was a little better,
yeah,
he might have been able to get there. But I still had a pretty good hand. And it was an interesting match. So he won the mind game and lost.
Yeah.
And then in like two other series, he led with Freeze Mage into Druid. He lost the game one mind game, but then ended up winning anyways.
It was a weird tournament in that regard. I mean, lots of the favorable matchups just didn't work out.
It's definitely a don't give up, you know, never give up, never surrender message.
Absolutely.
Because you want to be, you know, good at what you play and just be willing to play it. And, you know, don't give up even if mm-hmm. the odds are against you, so.
Yep. Speaking of Freeze Mage, Radu, I mean, obviously Freeze Mage, you ended up having a lot of success. You won the finals pretty much with just Freeze Mage. Talk about why that deck is so good, especially with the Vaporize. You know, you had the little mods from Otter's deck, which was Vaporize. And I actually tried Vaporize a little bit, tried Antonines a little bit. So I actually tried some of those tweaks too. And I really liked Vaporize too, but I kind of want to get your opinion on it all.
Well, Vaporize was there only because of Leroy.
Right.
And it wasn't my choice. I took the deck from an ex number one called Ivan 89. I said that already in most of the interviews, so that is not my deck. I think that Freeze Mage was really good in that meta. It had problems with Druid and Priest, and it had an impossible matchup with Warrior if Warrior played good. But I knew that nobody will play Warrior at Dreamhack.
Except for Kit-Kat, of course.
Yeah, it was obviously a bad class. And I played it only because it just destroys rush decks. That was my only reason for playing Warrior. And Freeze Mage was actually very good versus Miracle. I think it's the worst matchup for a Miracle. If you play versus a Freeze Mage and you have a slower starting hand with more spells than minions, than monsters, sorry. And the Freeze Mage has a good starting hand with Stall and then Alistazas you and has an ice block.
Yeah.
He can then kill you because you don't have so many heals. And also, if you just keep the board empty and don't let the Miracle attack you and play the Vaporize, you just win the game because if he wants to kill you, he has to use Leroy. And if he Leroys into the Vaporize, he just loses his main source of damage.
Yeah, it's definitely a very good matchup from the Freeze perspective. The things that you play Freeze Mage to beat Miracle, to beat Warlock, and to beat Shaman. And that's why you beat it. The things that Freeze loses to are Warrior every single time. Druid is a difficult matchup, and the card Flare.
Yeah.
If they draw Flare,
it's over.
Sometimes you just lose, and if they don't draw Flare, you do very well against Hunter. The Freeze deck is very good against Hunter, except for the card Flare. So it's definitely a metagame call, and I think he was obviously right to make that choice with the lineup that he chose. And, you know, it worked out very, very well, and it is a strong deck. I think he got a little lucky. I think he beat two or maybe even three Druids with Freeze, which is super unlikely, but it's a tournament setting, and those types of things can happen. And it still was a good call for the metagame, even though he had to break through a very difficult wall of druids
right.
in order to make it work.
I still regret not keeping the warrior on top 8 because the shaman didn't really help me at all. If I had the warrior versus Reynard, I would win the mind games because that was the only reason for him to play warrior, to play a rush warrior to counter miracle. So I knew he would play rush warrior. And if you play rush warrior, you have to start with it. And if I had the warrior, I would start with my warrior and be 1-0 in the first game probably because control warrior usually beats rush warrior.
Yeah.
And also, I had... I think the warrior was better versus Amazigh's priest if he ended up defeating me versus his priest and his hunter.
Yeah. Right, if you had lost a freeze game.
Yeah.
This is crazy, all these mind games you have to go through right before it.
Hearthstone is about mind games, but the RNG matters more. You can win the mind games, as Riel said, and still lose the set. That happened a lot at DreamHack. I think all the mind games where I won, I lost the game. And when I lost the mind games, I won the game. It's strange, but it happens.
It all works out the same in the end, though, I guess, right?
Yeah. Evens out at the end, right?
If you lose the ones that you were supposed to win, but then win the ones you were supposed to lose, then that's balance.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about just kind of elephant in the room, but I don't want to go into it already because you've already talked a lot about it, Radu, in other shows and interviews and just Reddit and whatnot. So I just kind of want to get your... just how you're feeling about the whole thing now. Like, are you feeling good about the whole, like, the event and how, just winning it and not feeling quite as much negativity towards it right now versus obviously the first day?
Yeah, I feel decent right now, but I think I'm still, like, a lot of people still hate me for, like, no reason. I know that I didn't cheat because obviously I couldn't cheat at such a big tournament. I am not that kind of person, and the DreamHack said they will reanalyze the VODs and release a statement about it, about that high mom code that everybody is so dramatized about. And I received like a lot of messages in the second game, and I even told people to stop. I was annoyed by them. I just told them to stop, and I think it was on camera for 1 second, and then they switched to Amazigh's point of view, and that wasn't so good because I wanted people to see clearly that I want them to stop telling me messages or anything at all so I could concentrate and be able to win that game fair and square. I wish they had made us regame game 2, because I think that if I was able to win that again, I would demonstrate people that I deserve to win. I think I have to win the next DreamHack or something to make people realize that I'm a good player and I deserve to win the DreamHack.
I'm just saying that people thinking that because you demonstrated you're a good player the entire tournament, even up to that point. So, but Realist, wait, you're about to say something. Sorry.
Well, I want to I think the witch hunting is insane. It's ridiculous. I feel, bad for Radu about it because he's really the victim in the end, despite being the DreamHack winner. Like, oh, the DreamHack winner, the victim, poor baby. But it's not really fair. Like, he didn't ask for any of that, and it wasn't really his fault that it happened. It was the circumstance of, the way that it was set up and that it was possible. And obviously tournament organizers will take steps to assure that those types of things don't happen in the future.
Yes.
And, that's pretty obvious. So we won't have to deal with this again. And this will be really an isolated incident. And I don't think that any of the hate that's thrown out is deserved. But I also don't think that everyone thinks I'm no good or anything.
Yeah, not everyone,
like that,
yeah.
That's not true. The most vocal people are not, it's not representative of
the smallest percentage of the
majority
of people.
It really is
a
relatively small amount of people who are very vocal, who want to stir up drama, who want to be hateful, and that's just the way the internet works sometimes, and I don't want you to get caught up in that. Obviously there's a lot of hoopla right now, but it will die down and you'll get a lot more people shaking your hand and saying congrats and that they really enjoyed your play than you'll get people coming up and saying like, wow, there's the cheater, when that's like undeserved and not true. So I don't think you'll have to deal with that very much, and not for very long. It's a hot topic, but I think it'll die down. And don't try to buy into that. Don't let it.
Yeah.
All that's not, like I said, that's not representative of the majority of people. So
yeah, I know. I was very lucky at DreamHack, though, so people can call me a big locker.
Everybody was lucky at DreamHack.
But I didn't cheat. Like
any card game tournament.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at Magic or whatever.
Poker, whatever, you know.
You have to run good.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that win are the people who ran good.
The right.
And prepared well and played well. And I think that there were precious few moments where you gave yourself a chance to lose where you should have won or anything like that. You didn't have a lot of really large major mistakes or anything like that. You know, a couple weird sequencing or whatever, but everyone did. And you ran well, and you prepared well, and you deserve to win as much as anyone else there. So don't let them take that away from you.
Yeah, exactly. Trump, your thoughts on the whole thing?
Yeah, hopefully it's real. So I'm going to take it one step further. Like, RDU did deserve to win one just as much as the other people. RDU deserved to win, period. He was the one who brought the Freeze Mage deck, which just ended up being such a good call against that specific metagame. And he did his research beforehand. I know that he set up a few situations where some players may not have, like, where you needed to draw out to win the game, but at least you set yourself up in the position, whereas other players, and the commentators probably would have completely missed it also, would make a play which would give them a 0% chance to win. So, like, instead of getting 0% chance, RDU set himself up to, like, hey, I have a 20 or 25% chance to win, and then he got it. Sometimes that happens. And it's those small things, sometimes unseen, which give people the edge up. So congratulations, RDU. And
yeah, thank you.
This entire time I've been somewhat silent, and like Reels said, there's so much vocalization of people who just like to stir up drama, and for the last like hour I've been just, look in this chat, which you need to moderate better, Chan Man.
I try, man. I add mods like every week, and they don't show up every week. So it's like I gotta get some more people. So if you guys want to mod my chat, message me.
Yeah, it's a shame that these people are so vocal. Like, I'm glad that other people like Artosis and Amos himself are just taking such a loud stance when it's usually the haters who are like trying to stir it up. Like, we know that it sucks to be in the spotlight for something that you didn't do, and I feel for you. It sucks.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like, just reading the chat, it makes my heart break a bit, because you deserve this. Congratulations on winning. You did the best.
Thank you, but absolutely. I still think that all the 16 players that were there had the exact same chance, because we were very close in skill, and I think the RNG made me the winner. That's what I think. I think that we are both like almost as good as each other.
I think there are a lot of great players there, and that a lot of people were a threat to win. But
yeah,
you put yourself in a position to win, and you did. And I don't think you should take that and just take it for what it is.
Yeah,
yeah. Everything could have happened. Absolutely. For example, Ecop drawing a cold light oracle, he could have won then. Or Reynard, in a game with Reynard, me not drawing the Shadow Step, I would have lost, and Reynard could have possibly have won that. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
Or you versus Amos, he could have just not top decked the 5 damage card, and you would have probably won versus me in the finals because you had better decks than me.
I think I had maybe, after I won game 1 against Amos, and he chose Priest, which I think was the wrong choice, by the way. It worked out, but I think it was the wrong choice.
Yeah.
If he thought that I had Miracle still for my Rogue deck, which he probably knew I did. He basically put his Priest in against 2 really bad matchups.
Yeah, that was
and
crazy.
I had maybe, between the two games overall, you know, maybe like 60 or 65, and then close to 70% chance to win each individual game, which is close to 90%, like, total chance to win the match from there. And the 10% beat the 90%. I was pretty salty.
No. So, I mean, the handlock, gosh, I remember just watching you draw bad card after bad card after bad card. And all you needed was Like one of your giant minions, or even like a Twilight Drake. Anything.
The Twilight Drake is the best card.
Yeah,
I think.
Anything there, you would have won. And it went on for like 18 turns or 20 turns, and I'm just, wow, yeah. It's just like brutal.
But if I
want to speak up there and say that like people are going to call Veal salty for this.
Oh, I was salty.
He's an idiot. But like unfairly salty. I think that's an accurate presentation. Like I don't think necessarily they were both 60-70% win rate. You always think you have a higher win rate when you're yourself or the one playing, but I do think they were above 50% to win against the priest. So both of the decks. So it was unfortunate.
Yeah, it turned out the way it did. Yeah. I think if I had been in the finals, Radu, I don't think you would have been unfavored. I think maybe you would have been favored in the finals with our deck lineups.
It depends. It depended on the mind games. I mean, if I started Freeze Mage and you started Handlock, then I would have a bigger chance. But if you started Druid versus my Mage, it all depends on the mind games, I think.
See, but the thing is that you had Shaman instead of Druid, and that means that you're better against my Druid in that matchup, and Shaman is better against Handlock.
Yeah, but still, you had Miracle, so with Miracle, you could have won like 3 games in a row. Amos didn't have Miracle.
But you also have Miracle.
Yeah, but you had an advantage over Amos because you had Miracle and he didn't. So that's why I said you would have probably beaten me. I don't know.
I think your lineup was at least 50-50 against mine, at least, if not slightly favored. So we'll never know. You ended up winning anyways. So.
No, you would have won. No. You would have won, man. you guys are so nice to each other. Okay, well, we spent a lot of time on that. Why don't we take a really quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk Freeze Mage real quick and take a few questions, and we'll wrap things up. Be right back, guys.
How long do I have?
Switching you guys over now.
Are we?
Okay, guys, we're back. Realize you're gonna say something.
I'll ask you in chat.
Okay, cool. So we're gonna talk about the Freeze Mage, guys. Just really talk about the deck really quickly, and just talk about the strong elements of the Freeze Mage and whatnot. Oh, actually, crap! I need to set it up real quick. Hold on. Let me ring it up. Yeah, I didn't have it up quite yet. Sorry about that, guys. Give me one second. I think I've already used it. We'll do it in, WebView mode here. Okay. Whoops. Actually, no. Give me one second, guys. Talk about something, guys. I'm doing this real quick.
So, Freeze Mage. You said that Freeze Mage is a really good deck, and yeah, that's what I feel about it. You should just mulligan for draw, and then you'll probably have a good chance of winning in almost all the matchups, as we stated earlier, excepting the Warrior, Druid, and Priest. And that was the reason for me picking it at DreamHack. And I think also that with just Freeze Mage and Miracle Rogue, you cover almost all the meta, excepting Rush decks. Don't you think about the same, Reals? You said you're an old Freeze Mage player.
Yeah, and the current meta means that it can be good because of just how powerful Miracle Rogue is and how common Warlocks are, especially on the ladder. Freeze ends up being something that you can play. The reason, again, like I'll reiterate it, I'll say it again. The reason you play Freeze Mage, if you do, is to beat Warlock, to beat Miracle Rogue, and to beat Shaman. Those are the things that it beats very, very handily. It actually does very well against Hunter Aggro as well, if they don't have Flare, or if they don't draw Flare. But the things Freeze Mage loses to is Warrior Control all the time, every time.
Okay.
It loses to Druid. You have a good chance against Druid, but it's like maybe 40% chance at best. And then you lose to the card Flare. So those are the most significant things. Other decks are a little bit harder to pin down, like various aggro decks and whatnot. Sometimes you lose and sometimes you win. Right. I don't really know what the matchup numbers are for those, but
Let's get into a little bit of how to play the deck, because I think we have talked about just kind of what the matchups are and what why it's good to play here and there. But let's talk about the cards themselves, maybe the situations. And one of the things that we noticed, at least RDU when you played it during the tournament, is that you were using Ice Lance as a way to stall individual minions a lot of times, versus maybe using a Frostbolt instead. You seem to always save the Frostbolts for the burn at the end. And I know some folks do it a little differently. Some people use the Frostbolts to remove, you know, just to freeze and remove minions, and then save the Lances for the burn, given that it's less mana. And a lot of times it's less, from a mana to damage standpoint, it's more. Is that how you kind of look at it? Do you look at the Lances more as just a stalling mechanism more than a damage?
Well, it really depends, because it's really situational, all this deck. So usually you should just use the area of effect spells to clear out your opponent's board. But if you are in a scenario where using either Frostbolt, Ice Lance, or Fireball to gain board control, then you should just use them, because board control is what you seek in this deck. And you should just stall the game until turn 9, where you should have an ice block equipped like one or two turns earlier, or it depends when you have mana to use it, and then just Alex to your opponent and burst him down. That's the mechanism of playing Freeze Mage. So if you are forced to use like fireballs or other damage spells, direct damage spells, to clear the board, you should definitely do so. But don't use them too much, because you may not have enough to clear your to kill your opponent after. Yeah, so it's really a hard deck to play and hard to master. What do you think, Reels?
Yeah, I think the freeze mage deck is a really difficult deck to play correctly, and it's a deck where sometimes you have to play. You try to play to your best odds all the time, and sometimes you end up making a choice that ends up being the wrong choice, but it was the best choice on paper. But you know, you decide to use your. For example, you could kill them next turn if you draw a Frostbolt, but that's your only way to kill them next turn. So instead, you try to save your ice block for a turn and not let them pop your ice block, so that you can like freeze one minion, not let them pop your ice block, and now you have more possible things to draw.
Yeah, you have like two turns. Basically.
You can draw, now Arcane Intellect is a good draw that could help get you a win. Or you could draw Pyroblast, and that'll be good enough because your ice block will still be up. Things like that. You think you're giving yourself more outs, and then you use your Ice Lance to freeze something, and you draw the Frostbolt instead of one of the more likely things, and you're like, well, I should have kept the Ice Lance, but you know, that's like hindsight being 20/20. That would have been the correct play in the moment, but you had no way to know it, and you played to the odds, and it didn't work out. So it's really easy to build bad habits with a deck because of that. Someone who is in that position will use the Ice Lance to freeze the minion. They'll draw the Frostbolt, and then the next game that situation comes up, they'll still Ice Lance the minion. A weaker player will go, oh, I remember last time I should have saved my Ice Lance so that I draw Frostbolt and win. But then they end up losing more games as a result. It makes the deck really difficult to master because, like Radu said, everything is so situational. And you don't encounter the same situations over and over.
Yeah.
You are always taking the game into later turns. You're always playing multiple spells a turn, or almost always, with this deck, because you're playing a deck that has draw spells everywhere. And so there's a lot of things that you need to do in order to produce wins consistently with the deck, that you need to spend a lot of time with it in order to really, really get good with it. And feel out what the better plays are and stuff like that, and what sequencing you can do.
That's what I love about the deck. Is like, it's so different than any of the other decks out there.
Right.
From that's all those things that you just talked about, sequencing and everything. And that's why I thought, you know, once all those freezing nerfs happened, I was really afraid that this type of, you know, this archetype or this type of deck would be removed from the game, because I think it's so important to include, because it might not be fun, but it is so important to have this type of stalling mechanism to the game. in my opinion.
Well, it was removed, actually, but after the meta changed, like, a lot of times, it just came back because it was good. So that's what happens usually with games. Something gets nerfed, then it won't be played in the first weeks, and then somebody discovers, like, some months later that it's good again, and they start playing it again, and the hype is on again, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, interestingly enough... Sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Interestingly enough, when Freeze Mage originally got nerfed, Warrior wasn't a thing. It didn't exist. No one, you know, Kit Kats hadn't come to enlighten us all yet on, you know, the potential of Warrior. And the cards were there, but it was largely undiscovered. Warrior was something you never played against on ladder. That was the primary thing of the game at the time. And so when Freeze Mage was dominant, and when it was dominant in such a way that it got those nerfs, Warrior wasn't even there to hold it down yet. Now, if Freeze Mage rears its ugly head and starts to look good again, anytime it gets too good, people will just start playing Warrior, and it will disappear instantly from the meta.
Yep.
Yeah, which we're kind of seeing right now. There's a lot of Freeze Mage on the
And there's
the
a lot ladder. Of Warrior.
Yeah,
so.
There are a lot of Warrior.
Is there a deck that beats both? Maybe Miracle has a Druid. Very good matchup versus Druid.
Druid's pretty good against both. So
Druid's favored against both. So
yeah, just
it's not like insane Druid. Against Warrior, but it's favored. So
Druid's just always good in the meta game. I mean, we accept that.
Druid's the fallback.
Yeah, Trump. Have you had much experience with the Freeze Mage?
Yesterday I actually spent only about 2 hours playing it for the first time.
Yeah,
and believe me, when you're playing it for the first time, it's different. It is really painful to try.
Yeah.
I played it because I actually know it's quite successful. There's a few people, it's Otter and, of course, RDU, who have shown it to be very good, and I trust in the deck, and I understand that I'm playing it wrong, and there's a lot of choices where you can make incorrectly each turn. But it's a deck that is really good in certain circumstances, and I think right now is... about the final moments of when it's good. In fact, when we're talking about the meta as a whole, you actually see Miracle Rogue taking a slight decline right now, which is, it had its time at the top, but now everyone is aiming at it. So things are changing. I was actually curious, RDU, in your little spreadsheet analysis of all best decks, like how many decks do you consider to be, and I'm going to use this word like very loosely, viable, how many types of decks?
Oh, viable... I consider it like all the druid types excepting ramp, miracle rogue. I even consider the mage, and I even consider the all the types of warlocks like Zoo and Handlock, and pretty much all the decks that were played at DreamHack were considered viable. Maybe with the exception of the hunter that Reynard played. I really thought that deck is out of the meta because of the miracle rogues and it won't come back, but actually, Reynard came back with that deck and added the Snap Juice, and it was really a nice thing. Usually, it wins versus Miracle.
No
if they
Paladin
don't
love?
Top deck sap, obviously.
No Paladin love? Are we ever going to get any Paladin love, guys?
Maybe with the new secret, I think the Rush Paladin will be decent.
Okay.
I see many people saying that it's the worst Naxxramas card, but I really think that it's decent for...
The mage card is the worst next Ramus card.
Yeah, the mage card was hyped. All the people said it was good, and I was just facepalming myself because it's obviously a bad card. You have to first use the card, then you have one monster of you to die, and then you get two copies. Okay, but that takes like 3 turns. It's just way too slow for any deck.
Right.
I can't see it working. Maybe, for example, it could work in a Freeze Mage to get Doomsayers, a lot of Doomsayers, But I don't see that happening too
much.
That'd
be sick.
But people don't.
I was wondering. You said there were a few decks, but could you give a numerical amount, like roughly how many types of decks you considered?
Types like 10.
10.
10 or something like that.
Oh, as in like things that you considered for playing a DreamHack? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, no, just things you expected to go up against, or things that were potentially good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like 10.
Okay, that's a good number.
And like 2 or 3 niche decks, like Rush Paladin, Rush Rogue, that ended up being played at DreamHack, like by two players, Ikop and Nabute, I think. And yeah, that kind of decks.
Okay, 10's a pretty good number, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's not the metagame being good. In that state,
and
it's pretty 15 good.
15 when you include all the situational ones,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on, guys. Let's do some Q&A, and this is going to be the crazy part here. And we're going to try to do Q&A in chat here, but I'm going to lead it off because I think Reels actually has a question that we should probably talk about. And basically, it's what's next in terms of upcoming tournaments and competitive opportunities for players. I mean, is it just going to be BlizzCon, or is there any more DreamHacks, I guess? Do you guys know of anything coming up here?
Yeah, I think there's one at the end of June, actually, and it's not going to be one of the major ones, obviously, but there are going to be DreamHack events before you make it all the way to DreamHack Winter. Summer and winter are the big ones, but there will be at least another live event. I believe I need to take a look at exactly when it is. But that's definitely one thing. Interestingly, though, for people who aren't going to be like traveling to DreamHack, which is the great majority of people who are playing or stuff like that, there's actually a lot of stuff coming up online that if you want to grind your way through tournaments and ladders and earn points, there's going to be a lot of opportunities coming up, and there's going to be. Obviously, the Blizzard Regionals is still, coming up, and we're maybe about halfway through, the qualification period for that. We're in the third season of five,
mm-hmm.
The middle of the third season of five, and there's, you can still qualify on the ladder, and you can still qualify through, various online tournaments. On top of that, I think just yesterday, maybe, I don't know if anyone had seen, there had been the Soulfire Sunday tournament every now and then.
Soulfire Sunday? Who ran that? I didn't hear about that one.
They run it through Xfire, and I forget the name of it, but they're going to do something called Soulfire Masters, and this was something that was on Reddit yesterday. And it's going to have two tournaments every week. I think soulfiremasters.com is their thing, although some of their links on there are still broken in terms of the rules for the eventual thing. But I think in October, maybe it looks like it's going to be the end of October. So at every week for a couple, two or three months,
mm-hmm.
there'll be a Wednesday and a Saturday tournament, I believe, which you can earn points and it's also winner take colors per tournament. So that'll be kind of similar to Zotac type of thing that people play, or ESL. But the points build towards this invitational, the Soulfire Masters tournament, which if I'm looking at the date here, it says 10/31, so October 31st through November 2nd, eventually. And they don't have all the rules for how that tournament's going to go, but it says prize pool. Oh, I see. It says prize pool 12,300, seats 64, tournaments 23, days left 121. So if people want to sort of grind out those tournaments and get good at how they, approach tournaments, if the tournament scene is something they want to improve upon, this is definitely one online way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, of course, all the ESL, the NESL that leads towards the
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill, mm-hmm. but I think that's changing very, very soon. I think the preseason that they have for that does the King of the Hill and everything is going to end, and they're going to do a very similar thing actually to the Soulfire tournament, and there will be the Sunday tournament that will I think the top two people or something from the Sunday tournament will qualify into an 8-man invitational. And then, the two people who won the previous week will also be re-qualified. It's a double qualify.
Yeah.
And then I think four invite spots or something like that. Okay. And that would be towards an eventual LAN in somewhere, I think, maybe LA. That'll run for 3 months, and then there'll be a LAN for the top some amount of people. as well. So like ESL, you know, will also be something that you'll want to follow along on. And if you're looking for competitive opportunities, that's something that you'll want to play online. If you want to give yourself a shot at
there's gonna be more stuff too, guys. I've been hearing rumblings of a lot of different things like happening in the near future. So this is just the beginning. I'm sure DreamHack's gonna be doing some more stuff too, with potentially an open bracket like they did at Summer. Also, I wouldn't be surprised for another one. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I just wouldn't be surprised given how successful it was. To go exact numbers, you know, we didn't actually talk about exact numbers. I heard rumors. Don't confirm this again. The DreamHack folks will confirm it. I heard rumors we got 80,000-90,000 concurrent on Viagame,
which is insane for like insane. A new service.
Yeah, that's insane. Given
like
that
one would guess that if it had been on Twitch or something like that, that it, you know, maybe it would have been like 150 or something insane.
Can I get your source on that?
I've just been hearing rumblings from the various people around DreamHack. It's not confirmed, so we'll see whenever the actual numbers come out. And
you know, I heard something similar.
Yeah,
so
I mean it was what I heard was like 20 around 30 or so in the first day, and then just progressively got up, and the last day was just the plays and the crazy comebacks and stuff were at its highest on the last day, so it just ended up going crazy there.
And also the drama.
Yeah, well, the drama I'm not sure hurt or helped it honestly, but. I guess I can't hurt it, given I think it was like on Reddit all at one point, so that's kind of crazy. Okay, I got some questions here. I got four questions. We're just going to go with four that I pulled out through all the questions that were in the chat. And Skull Manias asked for RDU. Do you have any plans for the money that you won?
No. Actually, I must receive them first, and after that, I will see what I can do with them, and I don't have any plans. I would probably just keep them in the bank, and
that's smart.
When I need them, I will just take them out.
That's a smart man right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it in the bank. Okay, yeah. Mr. Penta asks question: do you have any regrets from DreamHack, RDU, and Reels? I guess Reels go first.
I don't think I regret anything. It was really fun to be there. I'm glad that in the grand scheme of things, I'm really happy for how I finished overall, because it was really important for me personally to at least win something in terms of money from the event, because I think I was the only North American player who traveled there entirely on his own dime.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I think it might be. And that was a pretty big undertaking for me, because I'm by no means a rich man. I'm, you know, relatively simple lifestyle. I like simple things. I just want to be able to work and live my life in game and whatever. So traveling out to Sweden was a big undertaking, and I got something back out of it. I can't say that I regret not winning. It's more that I just wish I had won. But in terms of the choices I made and the preparation I did and the way I played out the games, I definitely made some mistakes, and I guess those are like minor regrets unto themselves. But overall, it was a good experience, and I don't think I regret anything.
No, I think you played really well. You seemed really, really focused when you were there, which is the thing that stood out the most with you versus everybody else. Everybody was very prepared and everything, but you seemed like you were there. I'm here to win, and just like completely there for not business, but just taking everything seriously, and definitely respect that. And you know, we were all rooting for you too. You know, just we were rooting for a lot of people, but you know, we were rooting for you too, for sure. Let's see, RDU, do you regret anything?
Yeah, I regret two things. One thing that is kind of small because it didn't really matter was changing the warrior to shaman, and I didn't need the shaman, so I really regret that. But the thing that I regret the most was not deleting my friend list one day ago.
Yeah,
because it ended up being pretty bad, because now it's a whole drama. Until
So did they ask you to do it beforehand, or
no, just talking about?
Okay.
No, if I had the premonition or something, that would happen. But I never expected somebody to be
sure.
That kind of a person that messages and tries to get me DQ'd or something. I didn't expect my friend list players to be like that. I had a guy from a tournament, so I had to delete him probably after the game, like most of the people do, but I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. Next question. Lamos King, do you think...
I regret not going.
Oh, Trump, do you have any regret not going? Yeah, that would have been, really been great.
Not going? Is that true?
Yeah. If there were something like this again, I would probably go.
Yeah, because, we missed you.
I mean,
there,
you were missed.
You were definitely missed. Yeah, it was nice to have you there.
I mean, I have a question too. I have a follow up question for that statement, because were you offered a seed? Did you apply for one, or did you just ignore it completely and you weren't approached, nor did you pursue it and just decided against it right from the start?
I don't know if I want to share that, but I think it's likely that I would have gotten a seed into the top 16 if I wanted to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go despite knowing that I probably could have gotten a seed.
Yeah, yeah. I know that you had been outspoken a little bit about not wanting to travel too much. I don't know if that's true or not. This is hearsay, really. But... I mean, I guess I understand it, but it was a really good experience. I think you would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Reels, like before we started, you were yabbering about how, oh my gosh, the airport, I had to sleep there, there's nothing comfortable, out of the way, like hours. I hate traveling, especially.
I had a blast, man.
I'm sure it's really, really fun. It's just the traveling part.
So the guys are all great. I mean, it's just like a family in the Hearthstone community, and I got a chance to meet a lot of new people, you know, like yourself, you know, Radu, and guys like 602, and I know he's got a question too, but there are a lot of guys that you just meet, and it's funny how it's like a big family when we're all together. That's what's the most fun about it, and yeah, you're definitely missed, Trump, so next one, that'd be awesome if you were there too. All right, Lamos King, third question. Do you think that a Hearthstone League that involves teams would be viable for the game? Think similar to Pro League from StarCraft.
Isn't already, or wasn't it, like Fight Night and Gentleman's Cup or something like that?
Yeah, there is a team league right now that involves some of the teams, but honestly, a lot of the teams aren't the big teams, or the big team names that we know of. So I don't think it's like the premier team league quite yet. But to answer the question, I'll answer given that I have such a, you know, I just know a lot about the StarCraft scene. I think it's totally viable. I just don't know if it's right now, given that a lot of the teams are starting to form and starting to build big enough rosters that would make a team league compelling. Because I think you need at least five guys to really make a team league compelling. Just so like when you're matching up teams, you can at least have five, like best of fives or best of sevens versus, you know, three guys going matching up to represent a team. It's not quite the same, right? And so I think a lot of the you know, teams that we're seeing that have big, you know, that people know, like Tempo Storm and Curse, and you know, we saw TSM pick up Masan, and there's some other rumblings of some bigger teams from other esports starting to pick up players too. I think once that kind of settles down and we kind of start seeing it, then a team league, whether it's started or not, will start to become very prominent in the community. But I don't know. What are your opinions, Trump? What do you think?
Yeah, team leagues are great.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else have opinions on team leagues?
I mean, on a broader perspective, I, like Real said earlier, I am happy for all the additional leagues in general that are open to the public, which are over time. Like, those are also great. I don't know whether or not both the team leagues are better or worse, or if they're a variety. I'm sure they've done more market research than I have.
I don't know if it will become the biggest thing, but it certainly is a possibility, and the you know, sort of a little bit of the groundwork has already been laid by some of the organizations who have already done similar things, and I think it's possible. I can't say whether it's likely or not, but the game is still growing, and there are going to be more things popping up here and there. There was already Fight Night. Was already Gentleman's Cup, and I think there's a similar...
Something going on right now, yeah.
The DKMR Invitational as well, which it's not like a large roster, but it is like a team-based thing, and I think it might even be There might even be one like today or
yeah, a match today. Soon. I think so. Yeah,
something like that. So you know, Google that DKMR Invitational to sort of wet your whistle if you're asking because that's your cup of tea. So
yeah, to kind of add on to that, I don't know if it'll ever be the biggest thing like Pro League was for Brood War and. You know, it's not the biggest thing for StarCraft 2. So for Brood War, it was the biggest thing. I don't think that will ever happen in Hearthstone, just because Hearthstone is just such an individual sport, and unless the team brands start becoming bigger than the individual brands themselves, I just don't see that happening, and I'm not sure that's going to happen given what I've seen so far. Who knows? You know, maybe the teams will just dump money into it and try to build huge brands in Hearthstone. We'll see.
Chairman,
yeah.
Do you remember when the game started? Like, all the people were so convinced that Hearthstone is an individual game there will be, like, no teams. And now there are a lot of teams with a lot of players. And mm-hmm. Now we are speaking about leagues. So the game is evolving so much and so fast. It's really amazing.
Oh, yeah. It is. I mean, it's there's no question. It's a viable esport. I mean, there's no question about that. I think the question was just whether... The team league will be just huge or not. And I think it will. I think there will be team leagues. There's no doubt about it. Just whether it will be the most prominent thing in the community where, you know, that's like the thing to be in and the production for the whole community. I'm not sure about, you know, that's kind of where I question that. All right. Last question. Legion Darien asks, what are you most excited to try when Nox first goes live? So I guess we'll ask each of you guys. Trump, what's the very first thing you're going to do or try out, I guess, card-wise or class-wise when it comes out?
Okay, I'm going to take this from a very technical perspective. Like, it's not... Because I'm a very practical guy, and Naxxramas is going to be released in 4 stages. So
yes.
Most likely, I will try out whatever seems coolest based on the cards that have been released in the first week. And I don't know what those are. Is it Spider Wing? There's probably going to be the Nubian Egg. I'm probably going to do something with that just because it's a hot new thing.
Yeah.
And then each week after that, I'll be trying out whatever is new. I'll just try whatever is coolest. And just overall, what I'm most excited about is trying out Priest, and I really like that 3-mana 3/4 card.
Okay. Reels?
I mean, is no one just excited just to play Adventure Mode?
Yeah.
I think exactly. I'm just excited to just play Adventure Mode. Maybe that's a little bit nerdy and very uncompetitive of me, but I think that it'll be fun.
Cool.
I think it'll be cool. It'll be an interesting way to unlock cards, and as long as it's not terribly expensive, then I won't, you know, I'll get to just have fun with it. So as far as the cards go, I do think I'm going to be at least testing out how good Nerubian Egg really is and see whether it's good enough to be... whether it's potentially better, it makes decks better than current ones. Nerubian Egg is a card that will either be very good or else it just won't be good enough. And I think it'll be good enough. So I guess that's the main thing in terms of the cards and the competitive aspect. But I'm mostly just looking forward to playing the Adventure Mode. It seems like it'll be cool.
Radu?
I'm really looking forward to see Nerubian Egg and the Warlock card because I already thought of some combos with them. For example, Nerubian Egg and Cruel Taskmaster. You just Cruel Taskmaster the Nerubian Egg, clear a 3/2 or something, and then you get a 4/4, so it's almost free. And
nice.
And usually Warrior dies to AoE, and if they want to AoE you, you'll get a 4/4, and that's also good. And for the Warlock card, I thought, like, that Warlock card, I forgot its name, plus Shadow Flame, and then you click the whole board, and you might get a free Doom Guard.
Yeah. Or,
and that's just insane, if you think about it. Yeah,
that's true. The Warlock card seems to be the strongest one, too. Yeah, I kind of agree with the Reels. I'm just excited to see what the Adventure Mode will be like, and... I'm kind of curious about the new Hunter card, actually, today. Nerubian Egg, I think everybody is going to try out on the first day. That card seems so good. But I'm pretty curious about the Hunter one that they announced today, so I'll probably try that out. And it should come out in the first dungeon, right, given that it's a spider looking like a card. So I'm expecting that one to be one of the early ones. But okay, guys, that's going to be it for the questions. And guys, thanks for coming on. Reels, Radu, thanks for coming on, being our guest today. It was really a pleasure having you guys on, getting your insights on everything, DreamHack, and just all the different decks and everything. But you want to do some shout-outs and thank yous? Reels, do you want to start us off?
I didn't get to do this at the tournament. I thought that I would have an opportunity to in the top four, but it turns out I would have had to make it to the finals to say anything. I shout out to the people that helped me prepare, mainly Luigi's from Team Mana Grind, and then Chalky and Blackout as well. Those people really helped me a lot with my preparation for the tournament, and helped me set up a good strategy and figure out what people were likely to be playing and get a hold on the tournament metagame. So definitely big thanks to them. Shout out to Mana Grind just overall. And I guess that's it.
All right. Radu?
Yeah, I would like to do the same thing and shout out to the people that helped me prepare, like Daniel and Ivan, and to all the people that know the truth that I'm not a cheater.
Yeah, and I can't believe people even genuinely believe that you did. It's just insane.
Yeah. Happens, drama. If I were to be more dramatic, I would just shout out to my mother or something like, "Hi, Mom."
I want to say hi to my mom.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You want to plug your Twitters or your Twitches, both of you guys? Anything?
Yeah.
Should we...
Yeah,
put them on the chat.
Yeah, you can throw them in the chat. You can say it, whatever you want.
Twitch TV, and then it's Radu_HS.
Okay. Yeah, my Twitter's @Reels_HS, and Twitch is just Reels_. So.
Okay, awesome. Trump, shout-outs, thank yous.
Yeah, I have a general shout to the good people of the world. I think it was earlier that people, one of you said that Hearthstone is kind of like a family. And, you know, to an extent that is true. Especially the people who have just traveled to a lot of tournaments and have gotten to meet each other a few times. You start to get to know them as competitors and sometimes even close and dear friends. And those people are cool. And more cool, though, is you viewers who enjoy watching the tournaments. But you know what else? The cool part of being a viewer is making sure that you support your players and you don't, like, go on witch hunts and that you don't sling mud and whatever just because it is a hurtful thing. Not everyone can withstand that, like, not even for me. And, like, I just think that for everyone who goes on an unsubstantiated claim, like, there should be as many people outraged and, like, coming to the defense of such things. Just, like, I usually try to stay out of these things and be quiet, but, like, I can't stand
for
this.
That's
and
a
I just hope,
point.
Like, a lot more people feel that way.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to see more people coming to the defense.
I agree with
rather
you.
Than being on the assault.
And that's the thing, like, a lot of people are... The thing that got me the most is that when people were saying, you know, after Artosis posted that thing, and I did like a really short video too, that they're calling us lemmings or whatever because we were just saying whatever would make the DreamHack look good. And it's like, guys, if we were freaking lemmings, we wouldn't say anything. We would just let it sit there, you know. But the thing is that we feel really strongly about it, and that's why we're coming out and saying, you know, this and coming to the defense of Radu and stuff like that. So I just want to make sure everybody, and Trump here, Trump too, just like what he just said. I mean, he wouldn't say anything normally. So the fact that he comes out and says something means a lot. So, yeah, just in general, I'd reiterate that. Just be, I don't know, just be good to people. And that's not much more you can ask for. But I really do appreciate you guys, you know, watching the show and supporting all these guys here. And, you know, you can find the VODs if you missed any of the show on youtube.com/ChamianV. I always post them there, so you can find it. I think part one is uploading right now. Follow the channel if you enjoy the show so you can get notified whenever Value Time goes live. and Deck Wars. I'll try to get the VODs up too. I didn't get a chance to because I went straight here. So we'll try to get those VODs up later tonight also, and we'll continue Pro Corner next week. Maybe we'll have Reels on. I'm not sure. We're talking about. We're trying to have somebody on Pro Corner on Monday. For those of you that don't know about it, it's a show all about just coaching and just learning how to play certain decks and walking through it. And we'll continue it next week. But that's going to be it for Value Town, guys. So for Reels, Radu, Trump, and myself, Chan Man V, we'll see you next time. Later.